In our gospel reading, Jesus continues speaking to his disciples on the night before his crucifixion. He promises the coming of the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, and assures them that they will not be left alone. Listen for the connection between love, obedience, and abiding presence. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. Listen for God's word to you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Hear what the Spirit is saying to our church. Thanks be to God. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. We celebrate the gift of life and the gifts that our mothers have given. While today may bring gratitude for many, it may also bring grief to others and complicated memories. Through all of that, we focus on Jesus' words, "I will not leave you orphaned, and God abides with you." Our reading today picks up before Easter in a similar setting to where we are today. In this context, Jesus knows what is to come. The disciples will feel lost without their leader, just as we as a church may feel lost as we search for our next pastor, and just as we might feel if we have lost a parent or fear the loss of a parent. Those feelings are difficult. But we also have good news. God abides with us. And I pray that today we may hear those words and that we may feel empowered to continue striving onwards towards God's will through the tides of life as they rise and fall. Our first reading tells us that we were made to search for God and to find God. We are also reminded that God is not far from us. We can find the fingerprints of God everywhere around us if we are looking for them. We find it within ourselves as we experience God's presence throughout our lives. We can see it in the interactions we have in the community of Christ. We can see it in the faces of newborn children. We can see it in newfound clarity as we look back on our lives. Unexpected events can cause confusion in the moment, but hindsight allows us to look at those events with a new understanding of God's will actively played out in our lives. This might sound familiar to you if you've ever heard the words, "I would have never gotten as far as I am today if that hadn't happened." In that statement, there is a moment when confusion turns into gratitude. It's when we realize God's works are revealed to us as miracles in our lives and in the lives of others. And when this realization occurs, we find that these words are true. We did search for God. We did find God. And that God is not far from us, but integrally entwined in our lives. In our second reading, Jesus reminds us that if we love him, we will keep his commandments, and he will ask the Father to give us an advocate, the Spirit of Truth. We might recognize the Spirit of Truth as the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, the movement of God in us, the reminder that though we cannot see God, God's presence is felt. God's messages placed in our heart are understood. Now, he cautions us that the world cannot receive the Spirit of Truth. God makes God's presence known to those who believe. But Jesus tells us that the world cannot receive the Spirit of Truth because it neither sees nor hears God. But those who keep God's commandments can. Those with humble, repentful hearts searching for God's mercy and grace can. Remember that Jesus asked God to send the Holy Spirit to be with us. You see, Jesus was already taking care of us before we even asked, so that we might never have to feel alone. I'm reminded of times in life when we recognize God's hand at work. We might hear someone tell us about something that happened that was so amazing, so unlikely, so convenient, that it sends chills down our spine. How could it work out so well? Was it just coincidence? You might have the thought, well, it could be God at work in their lives. And you see, the difference between these two thoughts is this. Which lens are we looking through? Is it the lens of faith? Or is it through the eyes of the world? When we stop and look through the lens of faith, God's works are revealed to us. We don't need any more proof. We don't have to hear the voice of God declaring this is God's work. The evidence is clearly laid out. We know within our hearts that God's works are being played out before our very eyes. That is faith. That is living into your Christian life. And I hope you will continue to grow in your awareness and gratitude for God's work in the world. I imagine we would like to be present in the room when Jesus was discussing these things with his disciples. And I wonder, what did you notice as he spoke to them? I think the first emotion I can see is fear and disbelief from the disciples when Jesus said, in a little while, the world will no longer seize me. Jesus reads the room. Jesus speaks to the disciples' feelings before they are even felt or spoken. He commands the situation by not only acknowledging their worries, but giving them reassurance that they will see him even if the world cannot. And I think those words hold two meanings at the same time. The first is that Jesus will soon die on the cross and that the world will no longer experience him in the flesh. The second is that those who believe in him will still experience him. Recall the last sentence of our reading, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." I think back to doubting Thomas. I think back to the fishermen who shared a meal of roasted fish with the resurrected Jesus. And I think of today, when we who have never lived in the same time that Jesus did still encounter him today. We sense his presence at times throughout our life. We give thanks for the gifts that he has given. We acknowledge that he is still at work in the world today, long after he ascended to heaven. He is risen indeed. He is not dead. He is alive. And because he lives, we too shall live. I'm reminded through all of this that God abides with us, that Jesus will not leave us orphaned. Jesus asked God to send the Holy Ghost to us, and if by now you thought the Gospel of John is rich with references to the Trinity, you would be right. John's writings we heard today include all three parts. We might find ourselves focusing on God in the Old Testament or Jesus in the New Testament. We might find ourselves relating more to Jesus as a human, walking, eating, and talking with us. I want to take a moment to consider what might be the least discussed or understood part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. We pray to God when we say, "Our Father who art in heaven." And we end our prayers with things like, "We pray this in Christ's name." Those can become more familiar. Moses hid himself from the face of God when he received the Ten Commandments. We encounter Jesus in the gospel, but we might struggle if we were asked, how do we describe the Holy Spirit? It is unseen. It is unheard. But it is felt. We can feel uncomfortable. We can feel more comfortable when things are more easily understood. But this morning, Jesus' words hone in on the interaction that we can have with the Holy Spirit. It's just as real and integral a part of the Trinity as God and Jesus are. And it is the primary way in which we encounter God's presence. Though it might be more difficult to put into words, I want to suggest that you already know it so well you may have just forgotten how to describe it. It is within you from the moment you were born. Recall the words Jesus spoke, "I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Those words at first reading sound contradictory and confusing. How can three people be in three places all at the same time? If we think of them not just as words of Jesus, but in the context of the Trinity, we can realize that it is not so improbable. But it is just as real as you and I are here today. The Holy Spirit can be noticed in many ways. A moment of clarity amidst confusion, a sense of relief felt in a time of turmoil, when we quietly awake and the troubles of yesterday have not returned. The feeling of a soft tugging on our heartstrings to grow in our faith. The motivation to serve the church with our time and our talents. The words of God placed in our hearts. A new understanding given to us from the heavens. These things happen when the Holy Spirit moves through us. It is the gift that Jesus reminds the disciples of as he prepares to ascend to heaven. It is a gift we have been left with. Know that you are never alone and that God abides with you always. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.